The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and talk about living our life with hope. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you?
I'm very well.
Well, our Gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear His Word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. And then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this Gospel is really filled with lots of imagery. Oh my gosh, there's darkness, and then there's hope, and there's victory of hope over despair. So a lot going on in the beginning of this Gospel.
Very apocalyptic, and
yes.
It's amazing,
yes,
how we gravitate to this kind of imagery, especially today for some reason. But to me when I read this and these signs, and then of course there's the earthquakes and tsunamis and around the world, and these are certainly tragedies of for the human family, but also very much showing that the earth is alive and we live in a living universe. But to me, the key thing is at the end when Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away."
Right.
And especially during this year of faith, we're trying to focus our attention more and more on not just listening to the Word of God, but receiving it as it is, as God's Word, eternal Word, an eternal Word. Let me repeat it again, an eternal Word that will not pass away. So what it promises us, give and you will receive, for example, forgive, and all these things that Jesus teaches us, these are eternal words that do not create fear in a person's life, but they create life itself. And so I think if we were to read this passage from that perspective, we would understand more and more, you know, the meaning of living life today, even amidst of difficult signs that surround us as a human family. Jesus came to restore life and to reform life, and his word is planted right in the middle of all of that to guide us and to lead us. And I think, you know, this gospel really is as Christians reminds us of a couple of points that we should keep in mind as we live our life on this earth, which again will pass away.
Right.
And that's the first point, is to not live life as though it's all here. And yet many of us do. We have to direct our lives towards what is eternal, which is hard, I think, at times for people to imagine. But for us as Christians, we live a mystery in front of God, which is one of the points of that mystery is that Christ will return again. And so often we forget this in our day-to-day life, but the point of Jesus' gospel is to always be ready.
And we've talked about that before on other programs because right. We don't know what the time is or the hour.
Only the Father does. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think to help us with that is at Mass every day that we attend, we proclaim after the institution of the body and the blood of Christ, the consecration. We're called to proclaim, and today we just say, the mystery of faith. What is this mystery of faith? And like most people, we rattle it off. You know, we know it by heart, but there's three of them that we use. We proclaim your death, O Lord. We profess your resurrection until you come again, until you come again. So we are a waiting church. We are a waiting people. The second, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Right.
Until you come again. Finally, save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. These mysteries of faith really are at the heart of living daily life as mystery. So, but the point I think for today, and as we begin to conclude this liturgical year, is the fact that Christ will come again. This is something we need right. to keep alive in us. Which again, for the year of faith, is saying we need to build up this relationship with him. Because many people live in fear because of these signs and these horrible things. But I would invite us to build a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when he comes, we won't be afraid. If all of this leads to his coming, then we won't be afraid. Even when our own death arrives, we won't be afraid. I was speaking with someone not too long ago who's quite elderly, and we were actually joking about death in a sense.
You were joking about death.
Well, I mean, joking in
yes,
the sense of making
visiting.
Not making light of it, but, you know, it's going to happen mm-hmm. And to be ready for it. But there was not a note of fear at all. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, when the moment comes, there's always difficulties and the circumstances, whether it's going to be painful or whatever it is, but then we leave that to Almighty God. But the fact that we're meeting someone that we've been waiting for, and that's what Eucharist is, part of Eucharist is that anticipation, that waiting, because when he does come, we won't have the Eucharist anymore. The words are eternal, and so they'll accompany us to heaven. But the fact that there's going to be a meeting with the Son of Man comes again, then this is what we anticipate with joy and not with fear.
Right.
This is what gives us hope. This is what gives us hope, to live life with joy, anticipating the one that we love, his return. And so this is really the Christian mystery, to die with Christ, to rise with Christ, and await his coming again.
So and we're talking about death. How, if we or any of our listeners are afraid to die, what do we need to do? Just get to know God a lot more? And the silence, we've talked about the silence of our hearts and praying.
Right. Well, you know, I think part of that is just calling on the name of Jesus. I think we talked about, I can't remember if it was here on the program or at another place, the Jesus Prayer. I think we did talk
about it. We talked
about
that a couple weeks ago, yes.
But Lord Jesus Christ, come, you know, mm-hmm. be with me. You know, speak to Jesus as if he's right there with you, which he is. We do that when a friend walks in, if we're in a hospital room or in our home, and in this moment may be close, then just simply speak to him by name. Call him Jesus. He will know. You will know that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, I've seen a couple of people reach that end, and it's almost as if they look at you like, okay, stand back, because I have somebody else I love there with me. I know when my grandmother, I was right there with her and praying in her ear, and at a certain point she looked up at me, then she just turned, which amazed me. Instead of looking at me with frightful eyes, you know, like almost panicking, she just kind of looked at me, and then she turned her head out to the outdoors, which it was a one-story hospital room, and there was a beautiful garden right outside of her window. She just turned and looked out there, and she expired. It's like, not that I don't need you anymore, but I'm going somewhere else.
Right.
And I really saw that was as an encounter, that there was somebody there holding her hand.
Right.
On the other side, as I was doing on this side, there was someone there. But it's because, I mean, she was a great woman of faith throughout her life, very service-oriented in the church and everything. So I think these are things that certainly prepare us, but we need to have inside of us that living faith that He will come again, something that we don't think of too often.
And it's a beautiful thought. All right, well, we are going to continue our conversation after we take a short break, so please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Helpers of God's Precious Infants celebrate a pro-life Mass every third Saturday at 8 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, 710 South 19th Street in Corpus Christi. The purpose of the Mass is to not only pray for the mortal souls of the 60 million lives that were not allowed to be lived and those who have otherwise been affected by abortion, but to seek God's forgiveness and help in changing hearts and minds. Following Mass, you're invited to join the faithful in praying the Rosary in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel at St. Joseph's. Brunch and fellowship will conclude the morning's events. For more information, please call 361-960-6050.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, we're continuing our conversation in preparation for the second coming, and what are some things that we need to think about?
Well, we had talked about right before the break about people actually experiencing that, but I think, you know, we have to live each day in preparation, and that's why we celebrate the mystery of the Eucharist and also proclaim that mystery of faith until you come again. Mm-hmm. So I think there, as I look at it, like four things that could certainly help us. And the first one is that very fact, to live life with the certainty, which is, again, an act of faith, with the certainty that He will return. And we don't know when. I mean, and this is the beauty of this gospel. It goes through all these signs, these kind of almost apocalyptical signs. But at the end, He says, only the Father knows. Not even the Son knows. So we have to live life with the certainty that only God knows, but also with the certainty that He will come again. So that's number one. I would say number two is to live each day well. Many of us are procrastinators, and I will confirm that I might be in that group.
I would be too.
But to live each day well and complete. So if there is somebody that, for example, during the day that you think of, you think, I really need to call that person. You know, I really need to talk to that person. You put it off. Maybe in that moment, live that day, because if that is your day or your night or the next morning and you never have that opportunity, there'll be that sense of regret. So we are anticipating His coming by living each day well and completely. Or if there's somebody, even you have a child, grandchild, a mother, a father that you need to forgive or ask forgiveness of, do it. I mean, let's just do it, as they say. Don't put it off. So that's number two. And number three is to really live each day for Him. You know, at the beginning of each day, direct our life, our attention to Christ and say, I live this day for you. These are the kind of little prayers that anybody can say. I want to live this day for you. And once we do that, we begin to see how that's possible in the little things of life. And then finally is, again, just kind of summing it all up, that all life is a preparation for the one meeting of Christ, which involves all of our relationships. If we get, you know, we live life as human beings as well. We should. We are human beings. We're in this life, but our hearts are set also on the other encounter. So all of life is simply an encounter. So we know he's going to return. We live each life, each day well and completely. We live each day for him, my only love. And finally, that all of life, seeing life as a preparation for that meeting with Christ Jesus. A lot of us think we know a lot, but none of us knows much when you compare it to eternity, when you compare it to God. And that's why St. John says in his first letter, we know something now, but we will know as we are known when we see him face to face. That's an exciting reality, that we will know beyond what is possible to know in this world, in this life, when we see him face to face. So live our life, finally, that fourth point, as a complete preparation for that meeting.
Mm-hmm. How beautiful. And it's something that we can work on starting today.
Exactly.
And of course, we want to talk about Thanksgiving because we're thankful for every day that we have here, and we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Right. You know, Thanksgiving, one of the things that perhaps we don't think of in conjunction with Thanksgiving, but it is also rooted in humility. Because Thanksgiving offered to a friend, saying thank you, or Thanksgiving in the sense of Eucharist offered to God the Father, is saying, I need you, that I can't, I'm not complete in myself. And that's a humbling experience when one comes to that, but it's also the beginning of a true life of love, because humility is the root of all the virtues and therefore the root of love. One really cannot love God and love a neighbor or the other without humility. And so Thanksgiving, once I'm in a spirit of giving thanks, I can live. And again, it's kind of like the widow in last Sunday's gospel, not just thanks because it's the polite thing to say or to do, but truly, truly from the heart, giving that whole self in thanksgiving says, I need God. Mm-hmm. My life is not complete. Or I am grateful for your help. I am grateful for that word of correction that somebody may give us. I'm grateful for that because I've accepted it also as a gift from God. So these are the things that Thanksgiving is really at the root of our being a human being. And what a beautiful reality we have in this country to celebrate it as a country, but also knowing that it has deep roots in people of faith. It's an act of faith to say thank you and to be grateful.
And when you say be grateful, we thank him for our blessings.
Right. And that's something that I wanted to suggest maybe as an exercise, as a prayer perhaps in the home and especially at home. And it goes back to an experience that I had when I was in the seminary. There was a group of us that from my class that would meet periodically and just pray for different needs and for different people in our dioceses and, you know, in preparation to be ordained, et cetera. And I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and of course, the American College in Rome celebrated. It was a normal day for everybody else in Italy, but for us, it was a huge day and a huge celebration. But anyway, on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving, some of us got together, and I know we read a couple of scripture passages. I don't remember what they were, but each one of us went around the room, and it lasted, you know, we didn't know, but over an hour, I know. But each one of us started just naming events, people that we were thankful for. I was surprised, even for myself. I mean, naturally, you think of your parents, your grandparents, your brothers, your sisters, but got down to the fact of a kindergarten teacher. One of my teachers that in the second grade really highlighted the importance of the Sunday gospel. You know, on Monday mornings, we all had to come back and repeat the gospel, and we talked about it in second grade. I mean, what an impression. And, you know, a life just accumulates, and you don't realize how God has planted these people and these events in your life until you take time to retrace the steps. And I've just never forgotten that on that day before Thanksgiving to go back and with a group of people, and this is what I'm suggesting for families, if it has to be Tuesday or whenever it is, but or even Thanksgiving Day, but to spend time together and trace back to moments. Because when you're together like that and you're in that spirit, memories come back that you may have not suppressed, but they're just kind of dormant.
Or you didn't have time to think about them.
Right. But I was just amazed announcing to others, you know, by name, sister, right. I won't say the name here, but or Mrs., you know, the kindergarten teacher. And it's just how much they meant, what an example they were to me, which then says, you know, God, this is how you've formed me as a person. It's not anything I've done, but it's what's been given to me from you through them. And, of course, parents and so much, you know, your faith and things that have been said. And even, you know, I remember there was even one that expressed how they were punished one day for something. And, you know, how hurtful that is. First of all, the shame you might feel when somebody corrects you or does something. But in that context of giving thanks, you can see how that event, even though it may have been painful, was part of your formation as a person, as a child of God. So I just think it's a tremendous exercise as a part of our Thanksgiving to know what we are truly thankful for. So instead of just a generic, we're thankful to God for everything, it would be helpful personally or as a group, as a family, to go back and just name it. I think we've talked about that before. Name it. And once you begin to name it, it's like an endless list. Mm-hmm. Once you get started, I mean, that was our experience that night. We couldn't stop.
And I love your expression of how people get planted in our lives, because it's so mm-hmm. true. And mm-hmm. you look back and you say, wow,
right?
We're not in control. God had this plan for me all along.
Right. And, you know, and even the negative things, you know, through that, God is exposing maybe something that we need to change or right. that we need to be looking at, or it's a way that he humiliates us in order to humble us.
Right.
And we should be thankful for that, because otherwise we would go on our arrogant way or whatever it is. Our egos get quite deflated at times. But when somebody really kind of comes down on us, even if it's not in a kind way, mm-hmm. it's horrible at the moment.
Right.
But when you put it in the perspective that God is forming us, that the journey of life, the journey of faith that we're talking about this year, is a journey of God's hand in our life. But we have to take time to stop, look back, trace the pattern. And then what we find, Barbara, is what's oftentimes called the golden thread of life that weaves everything together, even things that we may have forgotten. So this year, let's be very thankful, not just in a generic way, in an overall way, which we are, but let's be thankful for the specifics that God has given to us through people and through events in our life.
Thank you, Bishop. Well, if you could end our session with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.